Hey, Lorene, can you come up here? And so this is just, if you have any particular questions you'd like to ask, feel free to fire away. I know it might be kind of hard with a group this size, but just imagine it's a small group of people. So just kind of like filter out all the heads that you see around you.
Like there's a connection between the Holy Spirit and God's grace when I feel just like really exhausted that I can't even pray. I feel like the Holy Spirit comes in and helps me, and so that's, I think, a form of grace, is it? I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, this, the fact that the Spirit intercedes for us in ways that we can't, and that's the thing, like, the gospel says that we can't pray by ourselves. It's only through Jesus and the Spirit that we're able to pray at all, and those times when we're so exhausted, like, even if a simple sigh the Spirit uses just so powerfully. And sometimes they're more potent prayers, the nonverbal ones, than the ones where we can feel like we're being so eloquent to God. And yes, that is the ministry. The deep thing, deep speaks unto deep. Yeah. And when and the ministry of the Spirit is to have you not just pray from up here, like, oh, what are all the things that I said I'd pray for? Versus, right. Oh gosh, there's stuff here that I need to pray for.
Nothing more to add to that. I'm glad you asked that and pointed that out. It's absolutely right on.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard you say that without the Holy Spirit, you can't really understand the Scripture. And my question is, what does understanding mean in that sense? Does that mean understanding what the definitions of the words are and how they fit together to create some underlying principle, or do you mean experience, or if anything, what else?
Yeah, when you look at Luke 24:44-48, you see this line, then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And in that text, it's a key text because it helps us understand that there's a difference between intellectually understanding the plot line of Scripture and the surface level text versus the authorial intent that is a mixture of human writers and the Holy Spirit. That when we understand Scripture in the way that it was written, it needs the Holy Spirit because this Holy Spirit is a joint author. That when we talk about the Bible being the very words of God, it means that it has been penned through human hands, but also through the work of the Spirit. And there is an authorial intent in Scripture. There is this hermeneutic that exists in Scripture that points us to Christ, because Christ is the answer to the problem that we see from the very beginning in Genesis 3. And so you could read the Scriptures to get a lot of great morals, a lot of great examples of what it means to be a decent, kind, loving human being. But again, the intention of Scripture is not, here's a way to be a good human being, and here's who God is. As much as this is a book revealed so that we would understand the salvation that has been given to us in and through Christ. And that's the only the Holy Spirit can lead us in that.
If I might add to that too, one of my expressions is that prayer is what takes the understanding of the Word of God, the 16 inches from your head into your heart. And there's a big difference. And I think that otherwise the Word of God can be such a dry experience and like, this stuff is crazy. And yet, in the most unpredictable places, God can meet you. And I'm sure probably most of you have experienced that, you know, you can read a psalm or a passage and it means nothing in particular. And then all of a sudden on your 100th reading, it becomes electric and it becomes very, very personal. And it actually is ministering to you in a very specific situation. And I'll never forget when I was asking the Lord with a family conflict in my family, my family of origin and a little bit of an extended family. And I was really deeply grieved, and I thought, I don't know what my role is. I see both sides, and this thing is a bloody mess. And I happened to be going chronologically through the book of Joshua. And there was my answer. It was at the end of Joshua 5. Joshua had just lost a battle. And then the Spirit of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord Jesus, came to him, came to Joshua, and then said, and he said, Joshua said, "What side are you on?" And it was kind of like, oh, wow, that's kind of an interesting question. Like, whose side should I be on in my family? Who's the most right or whatever? And he said, "I'm on neither side. Now worship me." And it so informed me, and it still informs me to this day, that I'm never to take sides. I am to worship, and anything I say is to come out of worship. And I cannot tell you what you can imagine how what a gift that is, because it gives me direction. But also, I met the living God that day, and that's the work of the Spirit.
I think there's another hand over here.
I know you said it might be difficult to describe how the Spirit works, and I know that you've referenced Scripture, but I love the example that you just gave us, Lorraine. But maybe other examples of manifestations of how the Spirit works, just so people can get a better sense in their life.
Interesting question. Okay, yeah, we'll be transparent here. In a room full of 200 people. Certainly historically there are a lot of books that you can read that talk about a lot of like experiences that some people would call crazy to, you know, ecstatic. I mean, there's a lot of the mystics in Christian church history could talk a lot about these things. But, you know, if you want to hear more from like a 21st century human being, for me, some of the most meaningful times of calling have come, some of the most important decisions regarding my sense of vocational calling have come from prayer and the way that the Holy Spirit has met me there. I remember I was having a very difficult time when I first started ministry. I felt like things were getting worse by virtue of me being in my position than better, meaning I was hurting people more than I was helping them. That's a horrible place to be, especially when you had a former world and a former life, former job that you were doing pretty well in. And so, you know, a deep place of confusion and questioning. And in that time of prayer, I experienced what I would just call the glory of God in a very palpable, real sense. I mean, his presence was here. It was kind of like in Isaiah 6, for those of you who are familiar with that passage, where his glory was all around me. And all of a sudden, it like put into perspective who I am. Like, I shouldn't care about those very things. Kind of similar to Lorraine says, like, just look at me, and all the questions you have will be put into right perspective. Like, if you know who I am, you know I'm going to lead you. You know I'm going to provide for you. You know that you, your success and your failure does not equate to your faithfulness, right? And so I think for me that has one end of the spectrum. And this is like, you know, once in a lifetime kind of thing where I've experienced echoes of that, but in a very dramatic way, just felt God was very much present in my bedroom as I was praying. And I will never forget that moment.
I just had an experience last Friday where my husband and I were in Colorado and we were fussing over something. And I was headed up the mountain for my daily hike and was reasonably sleepless on Thursday night. And so I didn't really have a plan for that hike other than what I normally do is I worship my way up, pray my way up. And what I sensed was right as I started, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring scripture to mind. And there's a scripture in Isaiah 30, I'm going to butcher it now, but Isaiah 30, 15, which says something about in repentance and rest and then is your salvation, and then I've forgotten, and trust, and I'm sorry,
quietness.
In quietness and trust, right? And so those words came to me as I started my hike, and I wasn't too far up the mountain when I realized, I think the Spirit brought me an image of, Lorraine, you are clenching onto your fist and being right here, like this. I'm asking you, dear daughter, open your fist and now repent. I repented. It took me a long time. to our hike. And I'm not kidding. I was a different person by the time I hit the top of the mountain. And I had told my husband, I said, let's talk about this over dinner on Friday night. And I said, I don't think you really want to ruin your dinner. And he said, oh, no, I'm sure it'll be fine. And I thought, no, you don't know. It will not be fine. But it really wouldn't have been fine because of where my heart was. My heart was, I felt I was right, and I had a clenched fist. And so the difference in me between the bottom of the mountain and the top, now that was the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no way I could reason my way out to feeling fine. And by the time I got down off the mountain, I was actually joyful about the dinner, and I really didn't have much to say. I thought, I'll just listen. And do you know that it's been an ongoing thing for us on this particular condo for about 18 months? And it was almost like solved that night. But that's because the Holy Spirit intervened on behalf of me, and I'm just so grateful. And one thing I was telling somebody before we got started is that I find whenever I'm a mess, I can count on what the Holy Spirit's going to say, now go repent. And I don't often even know repent for what, because I'm so proud and think I'm right. But if I go in that posture, okay, Lord, I know I've got to repent, the Spirit shows me, and then that turns it. So I'm a big fan of repentance. That's a good, positive word, not as so often we're taught, you know, that it's a negative, awful thing. No, that's where freedom comes.
And let me just also say, I think for those of you who have grown up in perhaps more conservative circles, there's a certain fear of experience. And in some sense, rightly so, because experience can be somewhat misinterpreted. And yet at the same time, when we look at the nature of who God is and in Scripture, that experience of God is vital to our faith. That at some level, some of us have kind of gone to a place where, all right, I don't need that anymore. I just need to know here and just trust it and live my life. That's the fastest way to becoming a robot. I mean, if you want to talk about artificial intelligence, I mean, you will be a walking artificial intelligence being, like, because your soul is withering away, because God not only fills our mind with his truth, but he fills our hearts with who he is as well. And so I think a lot of us in the evangelical camp or conservative camp, out of a certain knee-jerk fear to experience, have kind of, for whatever reason, just kind of slammed the door or just very suspicious of that. But God desires, as any parent does to their child, to let the child know that this is just not like a normative truth. This is a reality of his being, that he loves us, and that love can be experienced and deepened in our own being.
So a lot of the things you guys have talked about, kind of one of the themes that I think I hear is this idea of communication with God and like asking God and listening. And one of the things that I have a question about is in the busyness of a work day, when there's so many different things kind of calling for your attention, do you have any practical advice on how to kind of maintain that openness to hearing God or like just having those conversations?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to hear what you'd have to say. It's a wonderful question. And I actually would like you to speak a little bit what you just did with the community about the having the common prayer, the liturgy, etc. You know, if you could address that. But what I tend to do is to... Now I'm on my own in terms of my own business. But when I was at Citicorp, I was 5.5 years there as a believer. And I had a church across the street, St. Peter's, across from the headquarters. And so if I needed to pull away because things, I was really getting stressed out or I needed God's wisdom on something, I would just tell my secretary I'm out of here for 15 minutes. It doesn't take sometimes all that long. I always carry like a tiny little book, Bible, New Testament, and Proverbs and Psalms, and might dive into that or might just sit quietly or I might journal a little bit. So I think having a go-to place is helpful. And I, the more I grew as a Christian, the more I would run to him on things big and small. So.
And what Lorraine was mentioning, in the early church, they would have these what they called daily offices, where the Roman bell would ring every 3 hours because people didn't have timepieces. So how do you know when you're supposed to do what? And so every 3 hours from the 6 o'clock hour, a bell would ring. And the church appropriated that bell to incorporate prayers and scripture throughout the course of the day, so that every 3 hours they had... they would gather and be able to hear scripture or recite scripture in their own heads and pray. So that's one early church practice, but in more recent times, that's been truncated to kind of a morning and evening, an evening song and a morning kind of service. But I think what we can take from that is the importance of regular intervals in which we're reminded of this world that we inhabit through the lens of the Spirit versus through the lens of our flesh. And how entering into that world really begins to color and shape how you see your work. And I think one of the things we're going to do today is the importance of the Lord's Prayer. At some level, like, the Lord's Prayer is really short. And why is this, you know, Jesus, you couldn't have taught them something a little bit more substantial than that. But in some ways, the Lord's Prayer is an encapsulation of the whole gospel narrative. And each petition, Our Father... And even if you just start there, you know, your heart automatically can get reminded, you know, I'm not an orphan. I don't have to live this life like I have to fend for myself. I have a Father who cares for me. And you don't even get past the first petition, and all of a sudden you're entered back into that world. And sometimes, like for me, I used to do this in my former life in research, where when I had such aggravating days, like it was a really bad day when I had to get to Thy Kingdom Come. You know, because and the power, and I saw the power of the Lord's Prayer, like encapsulated in these small petitions, was a world of scripture and truth. And so, one of the reasons why tonight we're going to pray through the Lord's Prayer and hearing scripture is the way to understand the Lord's Prayer is through scripture, to see how each petition really is an embodiment of these wonderful truths. And Jesus knew what he was doing when he taught them a very short prayer that nearly, you know, almost every Christian can memorize. But I would encourage you as a starting point, whenever you get into a place of discomfort, stress, anxiety, just start praying the Lord's Prayer. But part of your devotional life at some point in your life should be deepening in the Lord's Prayer. And there are a lot of resources to understand the Lord's Prayer. I actually brought one. We have a couple copies of it. If you're interested, it's one that I wrote for the context of our Gotham program. There are much better ones out there, but we have those available for you. But definitely doing a study on the Lord's Prayer. Tim has done a wonderful study on the Lord's Prayer. That should be something that just sits really deeply in your heart, so that in the course of your day, work day, anything stressful happens, just start praying the Lord's Prayer, and the Holy Spirit will really fill that out.
I had one more thought, which some people have heard me talk about before, is that each morning in my quiet time, I will find and write down a particular verse or a few words out of a verse, and I stick it in my pocket. And then that also is really, really very helpful, that if you find now you need a break or you need to hear from the Lord, just pull that thing out. And oftentimes it actually will speak to whatever is going on, or minimally it will remind you of who you are in him, which will help give a different perspective.
I think that's it for our Q&A time, and I'm eager to kind of enter into this last portion of worship. And